Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. Thank you, Father, for the time of worship. Father, thank you for Marina. I pray, Father, please, that you would just, I know you will. We thank you, Father, you'll provide every need because your hand is already in it. You're already sending her there. And so I thank you for that. But may she continue to see your power working in and through her life and around her and everything, Father, that happens there for your glory and praise. May Jesus be lifted up. For Miriam and her family that are still back in Iran, I pray, Father, for protection and grace and for your spirit to just overflow on them and encourage her as she and her son are here in this country or her children are here in this country with her. We thank you, Father, for Christians around the world that have given them, people that have given their lives to you. And I pray, Father, you help us, Father, to be bold for you. And I pray that you honor that. Father, can't help to, before I close this prayer, lift up Cherie's family, comfort them, give them grace as they endure a loss in their family, and just lift them up, Father. Now, Father, bless your word as we look at it. May it just bless people. May you carry it. May you do your work, dear Holy Spirit, the way you want to, for your glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're finishing the last message of our series called The Banner of Love. I want to make sure you understand what the banner of love is a reference to, that the more we're committed to Christ, the more we hold up the banner. When you first receive Christ as your Savior, you're excited about Jesus and you tell people, I received Christ. Or maybe you're asked, you know, what do you think about that? Well, I've received Christ as my Savior before. And that's the beginning of holding up that banner for Christ. And that's really the first phase of five phases that we've looked at in this series of messages. That the first stage is receiving Christ, but understanding that receiving Christ is not the beginning and end of your journey with Jesus. It's developing your love relationship with Jesus from there. That was the first phase. The second phase is that so many people, especially in older generations, would say, my faith and my politics are private and I keep them to myself. But our faith is never intended to be kept to ourselves. We are to step out in our faith and share our faith. And what happens when we step out in faith? We're always hit with spiritual warfare. Whether we like it or not, when we stand for Christ, the enemy doesn't like it and he's going to hit us. But we can stand firm and confident in Jesus. And the thing that is a great caution for new Christians in particular, but I think it can spread abroad to all Christians, is that we don't fall into the error, but I want to even be stronger with the sin of becoming spiritually agoraphobists. Hey, I said it. Agoraphobia. I almost didn't say it the second time. And what we mean by that is that we're Christians are afraid to go out, afraid to stand up, afraid to be the children of God in a world of darkness, much like someone who has agoraphobia is afraid to go out in the community for self-protection. Isn't that why Christians won't witness? Because they're afraid of the reaction. And so we need to make sure that we are not that type of Christian, afraid and secluded to ourselves and our faith and content with that. Because that's where we miss out on the blessings of God. So that was the second phase. The third phase is that we find ourselves, if we stand out for Christ, get saved, we go out, we witness for Christ, then we find ourselves experiencing the height of spiritual experience. It's like when Marina was saying that God just moved on her heart in Costa Rica, that she knew that God was placing her there. There's a height of spiritual experience. And we talked about how Peter, James, and John at the transfiguration of Jesus were on the mountain. They saw all this, and Peter didn't want at the end. He wanted it to continue, and he wanted to build a temple or tabernacle for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus and just stay there because it was a height. But the reality is that when we experience the height of spiritual experience, we're called to also go down in that valley. We're called to endure the attack of the enemy, that roaring lion who wants to devour our life, because that's what's going to happen. He's going to attack. And for us to convince ourselves that he's not is just being foolish. It's not being wise. But the height of experience will equip us and help us to face the enemy with courage. And so that's the third phase. The fourth phase impacted me probably the most out of all of them, personally, because this fourth phase is the branding of God on our life. And I held up that branding iron last week that as cattle or livestock are branded, it burns through the hair, burns into their flesh, and obviously it's extremely painful. But when we are put in a position as believers to stand for Christ, and it brings suffering, it brings shame, it brings misunderstanding, we've been branded as God's children that endure the shaming, the suffering, and the misunderstanding of people that don't understand our faith, that don't understand our standing for God, don't understand us proclaiming the truth of God's word. And that really shines forth, because under the heat of persecution, we stand. And so that's the branding of God on our life. They've been branded. It's truly evident that they are who they are claiming to be in Christ Jesus. But this morning I want to look real briefly at the final phase. I've made it a shorter message that what I like to call, and I hope it is this morning, a bullet message. You know, just boom, right there. Now the bullet may not be straight, so we'll see what happens. But the final phase here is I want us to look at the height of Christian maturity. The height of Christian maturity. We've got our first experience of receiving Christ as our Savior. That's the beginning of our journey with Jesus. And then we go through these different phases and we can reach the height of our maturity in Christ. And what happens is that we experience a paradigm shift. We come to a place in our walk with Jesus where our focus and our desire makes a shift from the world to Him. Not in a general common sense, but an actual life-changing, transforming lifestyle in Him. And so you can praise God for that. That's the height of spiritual maturity of this side of heaven before we get to heaven. So when our desire is to show Him our love for Him rather than to receive His love for us, then we experience spiritual maturity in our lives. We're going to look at spiritual maturity. The height of spiritual maturity is the title of this message. When we begin to look at how we love Him rather than what we can get from Him, that's a step toward that spiritual maturity. In Philippians 1:21, it says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." That's what Paul had written, right? But we understand that the first part is, look, I've come to a place in my life that the most important thing for me is to live for Jesus, whatever the cost. Whatever the cost. And to die is gain. Now we know there's two ways of dying here. There's dying to ourself and putting God first, that we might know Him. And then there's physical death, like many of these Christians that have been persecuted. Paul was persecuted. And even just the fact that we die, the absent from the body, present with the Lord we will be. We can praise God for that. So when a Christian finds himself being delivered from the wanderings of the world and not holding on to it, they experience that spiritual paradigm shift that leads to the height of maturity in Christ. Now, Marina made a decision that God was leading her to be a permanent resident in Costa Rica for the work of God. Now that's a sacrifice, isn't it? You leave your family. You leave your familiarity. You leave your friends. That is not easy. But that's taking the focus off of the world and self and seeing what we are called to do for Him. That's a step of growth. Romans 8:5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." We have a choice. We can either build our focus and lives on things of this world, acquiring what we can, status for what we can obtain, whatever it is this world has to offer, or by choice we can decide to follow the Spirit of God. By choice we can decide to walk with Him. By choice we can decide to experience the wonder and life and power of Christ in our lives as we lay down our lives before Him. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. What was the prayer that Jesus said for the disciples? Often called the Lord's Prayer, but really was the prayer for the disciples. And he said in part of that prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? It means our heart, our desire is that, and this is Jesus' desire for us, that not only do we look at the promise of eternity, not only do we look at the fact that we are citizens in heaven, but that we look to God the Father for Him to instruct us about His will from His throne in heaven to apply it to our lives here on earth. That's powerful. But God has called us not to set our mind on these things, but on the things that are above. And there's a joy in that. That's part of growing. That's part of spiritual maturity. That's part of that spiritual paradigm shift, where things start switching from the normal ways that people think as we live in this world to the spiritual, definitive focus that God would have us to have. In fact, when we are focused more on heaven than the world, we live in the height of Christian maturity. Now, we can easily go to Christians. We saw that in those that were being persecuted, that they are giving themselves fully to Christ, right? That they are willing to focus strictly on being a Christian, what God wants them to be. And we can look at that and say, well, that's the extreme circumstance, but it's the called reality for your life and my life, no matter where we are, right? That we have that focus, that the primary focus, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm here to share the truth. I'm here to be the person in Christ that God wants me to be. And that is a spiritual paradigm shift to where the things of this world become less and less important. In fact, that particular spiritual growth, now so many times people look to heaven when they're sick, when they're dying, when they're old and they figure that I've lived my life and there's nothing else to do. I've heard from so many seniors that feel like they have no ability anymore in life but to pray. Their value seems to be diminished in their own thinking. And they go, God, why haven't you called me home yet? But what our thinking should be as mature spiritual Christians should be that our focus is on God and heaven and what He wants us to do as a normalcy of our Christian walk. Our desire is there. Our resonance is there. Our purpose is to do the will of the Father that is there, here. And we can praise God for that. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some translations that don't say citizenship, but they mean citizenship in the Greek language. But I love the fact that you and I as believers are registered citizens of heaven. Amen. You know where heaven is? Wherever God the Father is. Amen. One day He'll set up He will dwell with mankind for the first time. Prophecy tells us that. But that's heaven, where He is. When we embrace the height of maturity, we look forward to our deliverance from our physical bodies, either by death or the rapture. Now, some of the world, even younger Christians, would say, what are you focusing on that for? Why are you excited about dying one day? Why are you excited about, being absent from the body and present with God? You're being kind of morbid. No way. Because the closer we get to Christ, the further we are in our journey in life, the more naturally it is for us to say, I can't wait to get there. Can't wait to see the wonder of my faith made complete. And what's happening is that our heart, our spiritual focus, is being drawn to the reality that this is not our home, but that is our home. And I have to make it plain to you that heaven is more real than here. It is mystical to us now because we don't understand all of it. But God told Moses, make the articles of furnishings for the tabernacle. They're a replica of what's here. And so it is a real place. It's more real than what we have even here. Romans 8:22 and 23 says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. The first fruits of the Spirit, Jesus said when he died and rose, he said many would follow, referring to believers. Many would be resurrected and have that new resurrection body. And the more we live here, the more we seem to be challenged, and we groan for the fulfillment of God in our life and the purpose of eternity before us. We groan for that in our own spirit as believers that are truly, truly given over to God. As mature Christians, our prayer lives connect fully with the heart of God. I love that. Let me give you an example. Husbands and wives, do you know what your husband and wife is going to say before they say it? Sometimes. Do you know what they're thinking when you say something? Sometimes. Why is that? Because you live together. You know each other very well. And you know when you say something what generally their response is or what they're thinking about it. And our prayer life, when our heart is in sync with the will of God in our prayer life, it's because we have lived so long with him. Not that he's lived in us, but that we have lived with him so long that we know the heart of God. We know his desire. That we're in sync with him when we pray. It's not just us laying down all of our needs and concerns. It's us praying with the Father in such a way that we're just, Father, I know this is what you're thinking. And Father, here we are, and we're together in the same thinking. That's a mark of maturity in Christ, the height of maturity in Christ. Acts 13:22 says, and when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, what's it say? A man after my own heart who will do all my will. When we're after the heart of God, God's not going to deny us knowing his heart. And we're going to have the opportunity to be in such fellowship with God that when we go to him in prayer, that it will be more important for us to hear from him, more important for us to be in line with his concerns than our own. That's part of the height of maturity. Our maturity is not reflected by an obligation to duty to the Lord, but by a true, unselfish love for him. So many times, pastor four different churches, that in each church there are times where people will step and say, well, that job has got to be done. But maybe God hasn't called them to it. But there's a sense of obligation. This needs to be done. We need to be careful. Because we can fall into an obligation of duty rather than out of an unselfish love for God. And there's a line there. But if we do and serve him out of that unselfish love for him, that's an act of maturity. And Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Deuteronomy 11:13 says, and it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. We will have that intimacy, that direction, that heart-to-heart, one-on-one, united in thought relationship with God. Mature Christians learn that listening to God is far more important than talking to him. How many of us like it when we hear God speak to us? When we hear God, his voice is so distinct. When we realize God the Father, above all other things, all powerful, almighty, takes time to speak to you and to me. And we recognize him doing that. How thrilling is that? I want to close with one more verse and then a concluding statement. In Mark 4:23, it says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. What does that mean? We got our physical ears, obviously. But if we have a heart that wants to hear, then we will hear from God. There are so many times our heart does not want to hear from God. But if we're seeking to hear from him, then we will hear. And what a joy that is. What a joy to hear from God. So let me say this. When all that matters in life is Christ and his will, then we have reached the height of maturity in Christ. It is here we will lift to the highest level the banner of love. The banner of love. Praise God. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for your word, your encouragement. I want to thank you, Father, for the challenge for each one of us to pursue those phases of growth in you, that each one of us will know that we are walking in a state of spiritual relationship with you that reflects the height of maturity in Christ, that we might be those vessels that you can use for in ways that are beyond our conception. I know, Father, you can do that with any believer. But, Father, for the one who has reached that height, there is a surrender to sacrifice that is beyond most. And so I thank you for that. Now, Father, just pray you bless each one here today by your Spirit, by the warmth of your love, by the sound of your voice speaking to them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.